Welcome back to another episode of Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler. On this podcast, we explore all things related to thriving and flourishing in life. There are three fundamental truths that inform not just my podcast, but my coaching as well. And they are, number one, the future can be changed. You are not stuck and you are not trapped by your predictable future. Wherever you are right now, it's just your present state. It does not determine where you can go in life. Fundamental truth number two, you can change your future. This might be the best news of all. You don't need to be rescued by someone else. You can do that for yourself. In other words, you can be your own hero. And fundamental truth number three, you do not have to wait. Too many people think that they have to have the perfect plan or all the knowledge or all the skills before they can get started. Nothing is further from the truth. I've coached a lot of people in my career. And trust me when I say that you can learn whatever it is that you need to learn along the way. The key is to start. If you've listened to the podcast before, you'll probably know that we find stories and experts who shed light on these different areas so that we can all flourish and thrive. Let's dive in to today's episode. Today's guest is the Wall Street Journal and USA Today best-selling author of the book Legendary, and he is the co-founder of the Legendary Life Movement, a movement that empowers driven people to be pros in leadership, business, mindset, and their relationships. He challenges high achievers to stop chasing the ghost of more and win and lean in to the legendary leaders, spouses, and humans they were born to be. At the top of his career, he experienced a transformational moment inspiring him to walk away from the corporate world to change his life and follow his true calling. He now serves clients and audiences everywhere by empowering them to build and live legendary lives. He guides people to discover a life of significance without compromising their drive or ambition. The simple tools that he shares shows them how to work in their zone of brilliance, obtain financial confidence, and live with meaning and balance. The goal is to help everybody to become the person they've always wanted to be. He isn't speaking or serving his clients. He enjoys traveling the world, hiking, and spending quality time with his wife and his two dogs. His name is Tommy Breedlove, and I cannot wait for you to meet him. Tommy, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Bobby, based on our pre-conversation and our conversation before that, I am fired up to be here, my friend.
It's cool. I've been so looking forward to this because I'm like, oh my goodness, we could talk for hours. So would you kick us off, share a little bit about your story with us, and yeah, just take it from there.
Be happy to. So I grew up good solid blue collar part of South Atlanta. Think mostly non-educated folks, military, factory, Delta Airlines, Coca-Cola, Ford Motor Company, but good, solid, hardworking part, what we call a lower middle class neighborhood. Unfortunately, and fortunately, I was supposed to be the first person in my family to actually go to college. I was looking at a full ride to the University of Georgia and a few other prestigious universities here in the Southeast. And the bad news is that I grew up around a lot of abuse and a lot of violence, both on the street and inside of the home. And for me, I was looking to be the first person to in my family to kind of escape our past, but I became what I hated. I became that abuse. I became that violence at 18 years old. And instead of going on a full ride to one of those universities, I committed a violent crime. And at 18, I was looking at 7 years in prison. Luckily, because it was a first major offense, it was dropped to two heavy misdemeanors, still sentenced to 2 years, and spent my 19th birthday incarcerated. Something really beautiful happened to me there because I didn't have a lot of good role models around me, both inside or outside of the home. African-American gentleman who was in his 40s, I was 18. So, you know, I was a little lamb walking into a den of lions in South Atlanta. And, you know, he decided to cross racial lines and mentor me, hold me accountable, called me young blood. He said, young blood, you're not going to become a part of this revolving door system, which was, thank God he did that. And between his advice and counsel, the fact that I wanted to get out of that neighborhood, when I got out, I went to work for a nuclear waste container factory as a machine operator for $6 an hour during the day, community college at night. But luckily, over time, I did work my way back to the University of Georgia. And one of the things I'm proud of is I went from a jail cell to a company called Deloitte in 3 years. And for those of you who don't know what Deloitte is, it's a huge public accounting, might be the biggest in the world now, financial consulting, public accounting firm. So it's a really prestigious move from being in a jail cell and washing cars and cleaning toilets 3 years before that to a factory, to community college, to Georgia, and then there. Here's the good news and bad news is I escaped. And I thought if I was going to just outwork, outhustle, outmaneuver everybody, and just work harder than everybody else and get that money, power, status, recognition, respect, that I would be happy. So fast forward 15 years, and I had all those things, the shiny suit, cufflinks, fancy watch, corner office. I was a junior partner and one of the rising stars. I had moved on from Deloitte into other firms, but there I was, a junior partner. And honestly, when the money, status, and power and all that good, the shiny things, and those are important. I will get to that later, I'm sure, in the conversation. But when those things didn't light me up, I just looked for ways to fill whole. Because, you know, inside, I was still that scared, insecure young man who wanted to be seen, heard, loved, and valued. And I still didn't respect myself, still didn't love myself. And I was still listening to that old story that in my brain, subconsciously, that told me I was still that piece of garbage that everyone told me was when I was a kid, when I was a puppy. And so when the stuff didn't fill me up, I turned to all the darkness that a lot of men and women turn to. And it almost cost me everything again at 36. I almost lost my career, almost lost my firm and my wife, and all in one shot over one weekend. And I literally woke up in a ditch in downtown Atlanta looking at the blue sky. I was probably doing some multi-million dollar deal just a week before in some big fancy building and said no more. I said, I don't know who this is or what this is, but I'm not going to be. And how it looked for me on the outside, like if you saw me on the outside, I had the suit. I was this tough guy, arrogant guy, funny guy, important guy, life of the party guy, just trying to be seen, heard, loved, and valued, right? Mm-hmm. But on the inside, I was struggling and I didn't know it. I was unconscious of it. But at that moment in that ditch, I said, enough is enough. And then this is the end of the story. So I literally made me my full-time job, investing in my mental health, my emotional health, my spiritual health, and my physical health. And I did that through coaches, through therapists, through reading every book I could get my hand on. Anything someone told me to do to improve my mental and emotional state, I worked on it. You could have told me to stand on my hands and, you know, light a candle and sing Kumbaya, I'm in, man. Just because I just didn't want to be that guy anymore. That I just wanted to be Tommy, figure out who Tommy is and be comfortable in my own skin and not try to be somebody else and just be this scared, like live in fear, instead live in love and abundance. And so when I did that, here's the results. It's kind of crazy. In 3 years, I'll tell you the tangible results. In 3 years after, that was 36 years old from that when that happened. I'm 48 now. But between 36 and 39, my income doubled. I went from a junior partner to senior partner to international practice leader to owner to elected to the board of a prestigious firm in the South. I was a board of director at 39. Most of the people were in their 60s.
Yeah.
My network 10X'd. My marriage went from being a life support to as strong as it's ever been. But here's the most important things. I found peace. I found happiness. I found fulfillment. I found courage. I found confidence. And I'm not talking, it was not an arrogant confidence, just a confidence to where I didn't have to be something I wasn't, just to be me in my own skin. And that, this is when the crazy things happen. And then I'll wrap this up. That's when my network started reaching out to me in bulk. I'm talking corporate executives, entrepreneurs, lawyers, bankers, venture capitalists, you name it. The people I was playing in business with, hey, let's grab a beer. Let's go for a coffee. Let's go for a walk. And they just want to say, how did you do it, man? You seem, you're a different human. You're happier. You're healthier. You're quieter. You stand with courage and confidence, but you didn't give up your ambition and drive. How did you do that? And what pill are you taking? Or, you know, what kind of magic formula do you have? And, you know, this quick fix programs that we're all seeking. And I was like, I told them the formula. And what I also did is I was very honest about what I had been through, what I'd done, and what the man I was and the man I wanted to become. And that gave them the gift of going second. They kept asking me for help and advice. And I'm like, there's something to this.
Yeah.
So at 39 years old, really not to the liking of my wife, I sold my equity in the company, resigned my board seat, you know, gave up a lot of money to go chase this dream of building the Legendary Life Movement. And since then, we've got a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller. We've created a Legendary Life Movement of conferences and retreats and masterminds and loving every moment. We feel like we're making an impact in significant men's and women's lives every day. And so that's the story, my friend. And thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah. There's so much in there, though. You know, I loved it when you talked about the old story, right? Because in your book, because I've read your book, obviously, in your book, you talk a number of times about, what is it? I can live my life or I can live my story. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. And I think so many of us unconsciously or consciously live a story. And it's not true. And for me, I had this mentor, his name's Kerry Gaho, and I met him. So the first step I took is I went to this 7-day, I'll call it retreat in Tennessee. It's called on-site workshops. I couldn't recommend it more. If you're struggling from fear or insecurity or worry or relationships on the rocks, or you just wonder, you know, want to be reintroduced to yourself, I highly recommend it. And I met him there and he just looked me in the eyes one time and he became like a mentor to me afterward. He just said, Tommy, are you ready to start living your life and stop living that story you're telling yourself? Because whether we know it or not, from our parents to what we watch on TV, to the people we're associated with, to where we're born, we start telling ourselves these stories that aren't true. I am this and I am not this. I am this and I am not this. Well, you're whatever you choose to be. And I'm sure we'll get to that. But what I realized in that moment is I had way down in my DNA, because it was taught to me as I really did. And I'm a 6'3", pretty big dude that felt unlovable, that didn't respect himself, that felt insecure because he was told and believed, and it was beaten into me at a really young age, outside and inside, that, you know, you're nothing. You're not worth anything. You're not valuable. And I believed it.
Yeah.
And that manifested its way in so many negative ways in our life. And it doesn't have to be that extreme, or it could be even worse or lighter than that. Is we've got to remember that these stories we tell ourselves, because we all have insecurities, we all have fears, we all have that not good enough. So I'm not smart enough, sexy enough, rich enough, blah, blah, blah. And now social media is taking that on steroids. Add the 24-hour negative news on top of that. We start telling ourselves of worry, fear, anger, rage, insecurity, judgment. But we can rewire that. And it does take rewiring. And it takes time and it takes work. But we all are telling ourselves some version of a story. Some of it's beautiful, God willing. You know, God willing. So hopefully it's beautiful. And then some of us tell ourselves really bad stories. Yeah. And at that moment, I realized with some work, some actionable steps and daily routines, because I'm a firm believer that we got to work on our heart muscles daily, our mind muscles daily, our spirit/soul muscles daily, and our physical muscles. Because if we don't, they atrophy. And no one tells us we got to work on our hearts and minds. But if we work on them daily, we start standing with confidence, courage, our own power, love, and we start rewriting our story, because we're rewriting it every day. And so I think that's just a powerful thing for all of us to know, that probably most of the things that we tell ourselves are nonsense.
Yep. And there's a lot. I heard someone talk about it this way, that the voice inside of her head is like a crazy sportscaster on a 24/7, you know, news channel. They just need to keep talking. It doesn't matter if it's the truth, right?
Nope. They just talk.
They just talk. And it's everybody has one of those. Everybody, you know, and the stories, they get outdated. You know, maybe they were true at one time, but, you know, it was funny. We went back a couple of weeks ago to visit my dad. And so we drove from Colorado back to Illinois. We took a different route. Well, it was a great idea, except for part of the route, the GPS dropped off. So I'm like, well, we must have a map in the car someplace. I found this map from 2013. And I thought, what's the likelihood that this is going to even be relevant? But it made me think, how many of us are traveling through our lives with an outdated map?
That's right.
Because, you know, the story.
What a great analogy.
Because it's true. I mean, the map wasn't wrong in 2013. It's just outdated now.
That's right.
You know?
And it never goes away.
No.
It just gets quieter.
It gets quieter.
And then it rears its head. If you stop doing the daily work on your heart, your mind, your physical, then it gets louder. You start atrophy. You start getting into old habits and old patterns, but we can always bring it back. Always bring it back. We just got to do the daily reps.
That's right.
And it gets a little bit better.
Yeah. Some people even call it the mental gym.
Absolutely. I think it is a mental and emotional gym.
Yeah. And you have to put the work in so that you become aware. All right. So a couple of times you said, like, who's Tommy? And then you said, you know, the retreat reintroduced you to yourself. So what was that experience like, being reintroduced?
Brutal. They spent 4 days cutting me open. Oh. You have to remember, I was in all the right ways, though.
Yeah.
And what I loved about this particular event, it was 30 people. Then they'd break you down into six groups, and then you do some one-on-one stuff. You group of six, your small group, and then in large groups. So the first thing it did for me And I work at telling people this every day, is the first thing is we're not alone. Mm. Whatever we're dealing with, whatever our desires are, whatever our mistakes were, whether we've had an integrity breach or a mistake, or what we're dealing with in life or relationships or sickness or health or marriage or whatever it might be, or really poor choices in my case, is that we're not alone. Mm. And with the stories that we tell each other. So that's the first thing it did. And they break you down in such a beautiful way. And what it allowed me to do for the first time, because I was closed, I was hard. And I couldn't even remember the first 18 years of my life. It was as if it didn't happen. And it also caused me to have not problems, but stuff that I wish wasn't. Like, for example, I'll tell you one of the problems I had, because it was a survival mechanism. I could go on a 2-week trip to Greece. And the day I get back is I was this, it never happened. And I couldn't remember it because that was a survival mechanism. Say, that didn't happen. You know, whatever just happened back there, it didn't happen. My mind would literally close it off and forget it. I've been working on that so I can remember the memories and friends. And it still manifests to this day.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even remember the first 18 years of my life. So they brought it all back.
Wow.
In a very beautiful, graceful way. So what it did for you, and then they put the last 3 days, they put you back together and give you systems, tools, and processes. And it's up to you to choose whether to do them or not. And I chose to do them. Get a therapist, read this book, hire a coach, do these things, do these daily exercises, remove these things from your life. And I did them and continued the path on. Here we are, 12 years later, and I still do all of those things today and still have a coach, still have a therapist. You know, I not only do this work, I work with people who do this work so I can constantly sharpen my pencil, but also look in the mirror. And so for me, it was a beautiful experiment of, it was the first time I ever truly felt it. It's the first time. And, you know, when I realized, you know, hey, maybe I'm not the person that I'm telling myself that I am, that, you know, you were making some unconscious choices out of survival and fear. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we can undo those. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me hope. It gave me courage. And it was the beginning of the past. So I left there very raw, but I was ready to take action. And, you know, like they say, the teacher appears when the student is ready, and I was ready.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a life-changing experience. And that's why I recommend it so highly.
Yeah. What strikes me in that, you know, the not alone, is that in your book, if I'm remembering it correctly, and of course I read it on Kindle. So, but it seemed like at the end of your book, you had pages and pages and pages of people that you thanked, people who, you know, showed up. I mean, and it was all so genuine. I mean, I spent, I don't know, I spent a lot of time reading that part of it. So it seems like you've really built this network of support.
And, you know, just hearing you say that, and the fear there, let me just be a little transparent here. The fear there is I've left someone out. But you don't want a whole separate book of thanking people, because that's really not what it's about.
Yeah.
I think I even say in there, my God, if I've left you out, call me. I'll publicly thank you. Yeah. But, you know, when you look back on, and honestly, some of those folks were thanked for me, for teaching me the things that I didn't want to be. And so there's kind of a double thing that happened there. But when there's a lot of things going on there. First is, you know, having a trusted community who truly wants you to succeed, who truly loves you, who truly wants you to be successful for all the right reasons. And it gives you a moment of gratitude. It gives you a moment to thank them. And this, it's a village. And, you know, we've heard it 1,000 times. We are the people we surround ourselves with. And for 36 years, I surrounded myself with darkness, because pain likes pain and darkness likes darkness. And that's all I knew.
Yeah.
And so finally seeing some light, climbing this self-development, personal development, and a mountain of courage, you know, you start attracting those people in your life. You start vibrating differently. And to give those people, even to this day, I mean, even recently, I was questioning some things I was doing and some really important decisions in my life. And one of my best friends kicked me in the face and really gave me some real tough love that I asked for and needed. And so I have, and this isn't in the book because this came to me later, is I have 3 rules for the people I associate with now. And one of them is, do they make me happy?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want the soul suckers and negatives and judgers and gossipers. And, you know, not to say I'm, you know, Lily White on that, but I work hard at not being that. You know, yeah. I still am a work in progress. So do they make me happy? And the second one is, do they make me better? And a lot of those folks don't make me happy. Again, yeah. Because this is not what it sounds to have it all figured out, but I work hard on it. I work really hard on it. Yeah. And the final thing is, and I think this is it's a servant mentality, but I call it net giving. Are they net givers? You know, are they constantly trying to take from me or pick my brain or want something from me? And, you know, or do they truly want to give so that I can give back to them? And those are my three rules for friendship, but I just can't tell you how thankful I am to have those human beings in my life. Some have left my life. Most of them are still in my life, and they are daily support. They are my tribe. They are my inner circle. They are my board of directors, and they just help me be better, be happy, and help me be, you know, to do the best I can and live this life. So I'm just eternally, the word great gratitude just keeps coming up.
Yeah. And it was interesting as I was reading the book, and now as I'm hearing you talk about it, I remember reading the book and thinking, like, what is it about you that attracted like the right mentor, you know? Because even the man, when you went to prison, when he took you aside, there were other people, I'm sure, coming in there, Tommy. So what was it about you that made him reach out? What do you think?
You know, it would be pure conjecture or speculation on my part. You know, we can call it fate. We can call it God. We can call it energy. We can call it spirit. You know, I use whatever word you want. I'll say it was a God moment.
Yeah.
And maybe me and him is just as much as me is because, you know, clearly I probably looked like a lamb. Man, I was a skinny white kid walking to a South Atlanta, 18 years old, man, truly a lamb among a very, very tough place.
Yeah.
And I probably saw that. He spent his whole life in and out of institutions. I think he still is, honestly. That's a story for a different day.
Yeah.
But maybe it was his time to serve. Maybe his time to step across a racial boundary and not be that guy that he always wanted to be. And a friendship, a love, accountability, advice. I mean, he had more wisdom in his left toe than I had in my entire body at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always said between him, some mentors that appeared in my life and my wife as well, is they loved me when I couldn't love myself.
Yeah.
And so I can't tell you why, but I am, again, super grateful that the man decided to do it. If I knew why, maybe I would have a lot more answers than I do. But, you know, it's how the fact that, not to get into too depth of this, is where I came from, what I've experienced, what's been done to me, what I've done in my life. The fact that I am able to now at 40, getting ready to be 48 years old, is to make an impact, live a life of significance, work on me every day because I still make mistakes. But whatever got me here, and I do wish I would have done things differently, but now looking back on it, it's made me the man I am now. And some people remember me the man I was, and that's okay. And they have all the right in the world to whatever. But I want people to know me for the man I aspire to be and the man I am now. And I'm just grateful for that I've lived through all of this and that I have grown from all of this. And hopefully it gives someone the opportunity to know that, you know, to never give up and to never lose faith and hope and to keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with that, I meant to ask you this earlier. When you talk about legendary, live a legendary life, what does that mean to you?
Well, let me start with the word legendary, because
yes.
It is an aspirational word. And what I love about that word for me is I love that if I came on the show, Bobby, and said, you know what, Tommy Breedlove is what it looks like to be legendary. Not only would you probably have hung up the phone, but you would have probably laughed me off. You know, and what I love about the word legendary is it's given to us. It's given to us by our peers, our families, our communities. And it doesn't have anything to do with money, success, respect, or wealth. Those things help if you're a good person because they will magnify your goodness or magnify your badness.
That's right.
And you could be a really beautiful, positive legend. There's so many that have come through us and somebody that we don't know of that just make an impact in someone's life. Like that man, Tony, did for me. That's legendary.
That's right.
Or you could be on the darkness. And so what I love about the title legendary is it's aspirational. And it's what we hope that someone or some group says about us when our precious time ends here. So that's the reason we picked the word. And it's an aspirational thing for me. You know, I don't always live those pages in the book, but I work really hard to do that. And so what is living a legendary life for me? We'll start with the tangible things. It's a life of purpose and significance. And if you look up at the stars at night, don't know why you're here, or a fire, you know, I call fire God's TV because you can just look at them all day, all night. But if you're looking at stars at night and don't know why you're here, no, you do have a purpose. You just got to go out and find it. And everyone has a purpose here on earth. And we have one till our very last breath. So to me, it's living a life of purpose and significance. It's being the master of your time. It's building a world-class network of friends and family and supporters who truly want to make you better. It's living the good life. It's the intangible things as well. And what does that mean? It means becoming or working toward mastering our mindset, reconquering our time, building intimate relationships with our friends, our families, and never, never, never stop taking action. Never, never stop giving up and really being the person that we aspire to be or working toward that every day. And for me at the very end, to know that we left a person, this planet, a community, just a little bit better than we found them. Cause I think we're here to serve. I think we're here to grow. And I do believe all of us have it in us with some, just some small tweaks. I'm not talking about, you know, redoing the whole, you know, I'm not in the change business. I'm in the revelate, like revealing who you were born to be. And there's a final component. If you do those things, but I also, so the things that we haven't taught people at a young age is spiritual health, whatever that means to you. That doesn't mean religion, spiritual health, mental health, emotional health, financial health. And to me, building a legendary life is the small tools, tactics to help you be successful, to help you be happy, to help you be confident, courageous, and to live life on your terms and not on their terms, whoever yeah. theirs are. So that's what building a legendary life means.
Okay. And I love that last thing too, the your terms, not their terms.
Get your power back.
Get your power back. Because somewhere in the book you wrote, eventually we developed the mantra, what other people think of me is none of my business. Love that. Because we always make it our business and it's not.
They're dealing with their own stuff and people are so have their self-interest, their own survival, yeah. their own needs, their own desires, their own stew, for lack of a better word. And so they're really not thinking about us anyway. And if they're judging or gossiping, let them.
That's right. They're leaving somebody else alone, for crying out loud. That's what my mom always taught me. Like if they're talking about you, they're leaving someone else alone. I'm like, oh, okay. but you said it there. When we do that, that's when we take our power back. So does that mean that like if we're so worried about the other people that we're giving our power away?
We definitely give our power away. We let people rent space in our head.
For free.
And just think about it. And maybe this analogy will help. And I'm not talking about power is standing in confidence, courage, happiness, grace, fulfillment, presence, peace, all the good things, right? Mm-hmm. That's power. Mm-hmm. And think about how much poison comes into our eyes and ears every day.
Oh, God.
24-hour news, left and right. 24-hour news, left and right. They're telling you you're a victim and someone's trying to take something from you. And all they're doing is selling advertising. They're very highly paid actors giving you a script. And we start believing it. We start separating. We start dividing. We start getting angry. We start getting scared. That's what they want. That's poison. Then you turn on Netflix or Amazon and 85% of that's poison. War, affairs, violence. I mean, that's what sells, right? Sex. Then you got the social media, which is just, you just turn it on. If you don't think we're emotionally and mentally weak, turn on social media for 1 minute. And so you're being inundated with this. And then you've got societal pressures, the voice inside our head. So getting our power back is shutting that down or minimizing that and putting goodness into our eyes and ears. Conversation with a friend, great book, listening to this podcast, you know, gratitude journaling, walking in nature, going out and visiting people and having fun. But here's what power is. Living on the side of love and goodness and not the darkness. It is standing in confidence, courage, love, self-respect, self-love, and leading yourself. Mm-hmm. Not letting others lead us. The hardest thing to lead is ourselves. The hardest thing to respect is ourselves. And the hardest thing to love is ourselves. When you start loving, respecting, and leading yourself, you are standing in power.
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. You know, it really is. And about the negative, the news and all that kind of stuff. Somewhere in the book, you said, what was it? If you do nothing else, eliminate the energy vampires. Is that what you call
energy
them?
Energy vampires.
Yeah.
You know who they are.
You do. But now, okay, so that's a good question.
Most of them look like family.
I didn't say it. But that brings up a good point because sometimes people, I mean, I had to do a lot of work in this area and, you know, I had to let go of some friendships and I had to, you know, with my mom, loved her dearly, but she was abusive when I was growing up and I had to try to reset boundaries, which was really hard. And people, you know, they're always like, yeah, I could never do that. Yeah, you can.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. My next thing we'll talk about is choice. How do you help people when they're in that spot of, this brings me down, but I can't let go of it.
The word is shame. It's not guilt because you're doing nothing wrong because we can't choose our families.
No.
But we can choose the boundaries that we play with our families, especially as we become adults. And all of us are accumulation of fears, insecurities, like goodness, darkness. And so for me, you know, guilt is I've done something bad. When I was 18 years old, I did something really bad and I was truly guilty. And I held myself accountable. Society held me accountable and we have moved on. That when you feel bad or you can't do that, that's shame. And you're choosing to be a martyr. You're choosing to surround yourself or letting someone with a lack of boundary because you're like, shame. That is, I am not enough. I am not good. I am bad. If I don't do this, that's shame. That's probably coming from that other person that you need to eliminate from your life anyway. And that's the story again. That's the story. Mm-hmm. And so doesn't mean you don't love them.
No.
It just means that in order for you to lead yourself and respect yourself and to love yourself so that you can lead, respect, and love others fully, you've got to get that negativity, that judgment, that gossiping, that energy vampire out of your life. Family members are the toughest, but with proper communication, again, you've got to work on yourself. You can't ask others to do something you're not doing for yourself. That's hypocrisy. That's why we don't trust politicians. But at the end of the day, life is very, very short.
Very.
And do you want to spend people who lift you up, who make you better, who make you happy, and who help you to grow and be the person that you were born to be? Or do you want to just stay around people that are anchoring you down?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you don't love them. They're just not going in the same direction. I have had to draw extreme boundaries to the point a lot of my family members think I'm an ass. I hope I can say that.
Sure.
But I'm not. I'm really not. And, you know, my kindness is not earned. I am kind to almost every person I meet. My nicest is earned. And so I have to draw boundaries around certain family members because certain family members have tried to destroy my marriage. Remember, pain likes pain.
Yes.
Pain wants you to be in pain. Mm-hmm. Darkness likes darkness. Darkness can't live with light. And so it's so crucially important to your growth, your well-being, your success, your happiness. Doesn't mean you don't love them, but you have to limit the time around them. And when it comes to human beings, you probably read this in the book and How I Schedule My Time, not always successful on this, but with human beings, if they're not a hell yes, they're a no. Because life is intimately short and friendships, relationships, family, significant others, it's hard enough. Why are we surrounding ourselves with people who make it even harder?
That's right. You know, when you were talking there, Tommy, about the respect, it, you know, and setting the boundaries, this was back in 2001, I finally sat down and I confronted my mom and it was via a letter because frankly, I was physically afraid to do that in person. And I was truly trying to set the boundaries to see if we could make something new happen. And it didn't go well. You know, I was just disinherited and I was dead to her. And I kind of expected that, but so many people criticized me for it. And then so many people were like, you know, why would you do that? Why would you do that? And my response was always, I can't respect myself if I allow that to continue. And it was no more complicated than that in my head, but it was this intuitive. If I allow someone to treat me that way now, I mean, she left a voicemail for me when Rick and my husband and I, when we first started dating, we went out to dinner and we came back and I saw the answering machine. That's how long ago this was. And I played the message and Rick just sat there. He listened to it and his jaw dropped open. He's like, that was your mom? Because it was horrid. But I just knew that if I don't respect myself enough to set this boundary, I can't continue that way. And it just connected for me. You know, if you don't respect yourself enough, then you can't give that respect to others.
You can't. And if you don't, and if you allow someone to, because that will get into your brain or get to your heart or get to your need, and you'll start believing the words that are coming out of her mouth. And I got to share with you some wonderful text from my family member. So we'd have a lot to talk about over, you know, maybe skiing. But at the end of the day, here's the difference is you are doing the self-work, self-growth, self-boundary, self-respect, self-love. And here's the thing, you have become aware.
Yes.
And awareness is a really difficult thing because once you become aware, you can't become unaware.
You cannot close that door.
Can't close it. And it can either anchor you down and you continue a downward spot, or it can be a phoenix to rise you up. And it doesn't mean that your mom, and I'll say this, I guarantee you, even to this day, I don't know if she's with us or not, I guarantee you there's a love in there.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what happened to her?
Oh.
For her to operate under that, who knows what story she's telling herself? Because remember, pain likes pain and darkness likes darkness. And she was probably born in the darkness. But people have to participate in their own rescues. You can't change your mom. You can't change your kid. You can't change your, you can influence your kid. Mm-hmm. You can teach your kid. You can hold your kid accountable and discipline your kid. And hopefully, God willing, they become a productive human being. But hurt parents hurt kids. Mm-hmm. And it's just an endless chain and cycle. And God knows we can see the empathy and compassion from it. But unless you have true boundaries and empathy and compassion and self-respect for yourself, you're just teaching people how to treat you. And if you allow her to do it, you allow 100 other people to do it.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you're right. I mean, her story is, I have nothing but compassion for her story. And she passed in 2008. I was actually with her when she died. And it was a beautiful moment for, you know, to be with her. It was very peaceful. I had a guest on the show. This was back in October. And he used to do counseling at maximum security prisons. And he said it this way, trauma that is not transformed is transferred.
Oh,
and it's exactly what you're, you know,
you're talking to him. That was the first 36 years of my life. And I was like, I have got to figure this out, man.
Somewhere. Okay. So we have to talk about choice though, because this is like one of our, I think when I was reading the book, like every time you kept talking about choice and I highlighted it and it's all over my website too. Talk to me a little bit about the role of choice in all of this.
In my humble opinion, and based on a 100 people I've worked with and people that I've paid to work with me, I've come to believe it's truly the only power we have. We think we're in control of a lot of things and we think we have power, but really we only have the power of our choices. And I believe we're born with three gifts, the gift of life, the gift of choice, and the gift of death. Mm. That's really the three things that we're born with. And so gift of life, we get to live this life and it's preciously short.
Yeah.
The gift of death, we know we're not going to be here long. So what are we going to choose to do in the meantime? And so for me, that gift of choice, knowing that every moment of every day, and we have to be reminded because the shame monster, the fear monster, the media monsters, the social media monsters, our peers, our family, they're constantly trying to take our power and put fear and worry. But remember, every moment of every day, you choose your attitude, you choose your actions, and you choose your thoughts. Now, sometimes you don't choose your thoughts, but you can really, really undo a negative thought to a positive thought really, really quickly.
Yep.
And if you can catch that negative and turn it to gratitude, or if you can catch that, you know, voice inside your head and turn it to something positive, and you can choose every moment of every day to choose goodness or darkness, to choose the light or the dark, and to choose to move forward or go backward. And really, it starts with, I mean, we've heard this from 1,000 different people, and it's been attributed to 1,000. Your thoughts become your actions, become your habits, become your destiny, become who you become. And it all starts with your thoughts and choices, and knowing with every moment of every day that you get to choose your next step, your next thought, your next action. That's living on the side of light. And just knowing that you can choose to do something different today than you did yesterday, and know that the only power you have is choice.
Yeah. So yeah, all that came through.
Hopefully this will help us.
Yeah. All right. So we'll keep going. We can edit that out. So that's cool.
Did all the choice stuff come through?
All the choice stuff came through. So
did
that
the choice
was
stuff come through?
Yep. So talking about the choice,
will do.
I think that it's also like, to me, when you fully embrace that, I think it's one of the most hopeful things in the whole world.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's one of the things this world needs right now is hope.
Oh, geez. Yes.
When you say that?
Yeah, I do.
Knowing that you can choose to turn off whatever news network you watch, that you can choose to minimize the poison that you put in your eyes and ears, and knowing that every moment of poison, again, reality TV, 24-hour news, certain social media, even what's on our movies. And I'm not telling you go be a monk sitting on a hill. You got to live your life and have fun, right? I like certain Netflix shows too, but we can choose who we spend our time with. We can choose where we put our energy to. We can choose every moment. And we've got to have nutrition and positivity and goodness coming into our eyes and ears more than darkness so that we live with hope. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding, Bobby. I have watched probably less than 10 hours of news in 10 years. I am not kidding. And I am not uninformed at all, because let me tell you what happens in the news is once a news story happens, it's five people tell you about it and then they tell you their opinions on it.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, when you turn off all that garbage and you lean into what you can actually control, i.e. your choices, who you influence, where you spend your time, what you spend your energy on, who you serve and how you serve yourself, when you choose to do that, you start living life with courage. You start living life with confidence. You start living life with hope. And you start living life, again, with your own power, because all those other things are designed to take your power away so that they are the puppeteers and you are the puppet. How about you be the puppeteer of your life?
Yeah, that's a great image. That's a really great image. And now, Tommy, I know that I want to be respectful of your time, but I want to, if you could tell us a little bit, I know the book is your baby, and also you're starting the Legendary Life Movement. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the Legendary Life Movement is designed for entrepreneurs, executives who don't want to compromise their ambition and drive, but want to get together in a like-minded community where we can have real conversations on business. We can have real conversations on life. We can have real conversations on relationship, and we can continually grow and evolve. And what is the Legendary Life Movement? It's a community, it's retreats, it's conferences, it's experiences, and it's a mastermind. And we bring people together who want to be a little bit better, who want to lead themselves better, who want to live with more mindset mastery and confidence and power so that they can go lead their organizations, but also be around other executives and entrepreneurs who can share stories and wisdom and goodness and, hey, I've been there, and try this, so that all of these brains become one brain so that we can help each other be better in all phases of our life, so that when we leave this world, we could be remembered as legends. And so we're super proud of it. We've done the men's programs the last 2 years. We're starting our women's movement this year. Pretty excited about that. And then we're going to bring the two movements together over time. And so we're just really, really, really excited. And think retreats, think experiences, think masterminds, think group settings, and really bringing these people together to have authentic, real, honest, leading ourselves conversations so that we can all get better together.
Nice. I love that. I love the difference that you're making by doing that. Yeah. So if someone's interested in learning more about that, what is the best way for them to go about that?
If you want to learn more, reach out to me. And by the way, quite a few people check this email address. So reach out to me. It's at Tommy@TommyBreedLove.com. Again, it's Tommy@TommyBreedLove.com. If you just want to dip your toes, go check out the book. It's on Audible. It's on Kindle. It's electronic, hard copy, soft copy. It's at all your bookstores, airports, doesn't matter. It's out there. And if you don't want to read the book, I will read it to you. It's on Audible. I will read it to you. But if you want to dip your toe in the water on what we stand for, who we are, where we're going, it's all in there. And I promise you, when you read that book, you will take at least one or two things away that will help you make your life a little bit better. Could be money, could be power, could be confidence, could be relationships, whatever it is. And if you want to know more about our upcoming retreats, we have a retreat coming up in February. We have one coming up in March. We've got an experience coming up in April. Community is open at any time for people to join. But again, reach out to us at Tommy@TommyBreedLove.com. I know I've been bashing social pretty hard, but we are one of those groups that actually puts out, you know, goodness and hope and leadership and tactics and hacks and money hacks. And, you know, we stay away from politics and religion, and we just put out things that actually make people's lives better. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Just look up Tommy Breedlove. You'll see us there. Check out the book, check out the Audible book, or reach out to us. We'd love to have you involved in our community, part of our mastermind, and certainly at one of the upcoming retreats. So thank you for letting me share that, Bobby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the book. And I just wanted to say thank you for, you know, making time for being here. And it's been a masterclass. So thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. You're so kind. And hopefully I can come back and look forward to this. We are kindred spirits, my friend. And it's been an honor, and I'm humbled to be here. And hey, here's to all of us participating in our own rescues.
That's right. I love it. I hope that you took a lot away from that conversation. I know that I did. But as always, I'm going to try to limit it to just three insights for thriving. Insight number one, do you want to live your life or live your story? You don't have to continue to live the story that you've told yourself or that others have tried to write for you. You're the author here. Number two, to be legendary, we need to lead ourselves, respect ourselves, and love ourselves. We need to be able to do that not just for ourselves, but for those around us, because we cannot fully give those things to others if we can't give those things to ourselves first. And finally, insight number three, remove the energy vampires. I think that this is such an incredibly important point. And I loved how Tommy said it with his network. And I've heard people talk about it this way with projects as well. But it's either a hell yes or it's a no. I could easily go on, but I do my best to limit these to only three, which is often quite difficult to do. As always, I want to take a moment just to say thank you. Thanks for tuning in and for listening, and thank you so much for sharing these episodes with others. I'm getting a lot of feedback from people who are reaching out to say, hey, my friend or my family member or my colleague, they shared your podcast with me, and now they're faithful listeners as well. So thank you all so much for that. I really cannot even begin to tell you how much that means to me and how grateful I am to you. So I hope that you have a great week and that you thrive no matter what.